some.
It's the week before Christmas, and I'm standing in a public library in Stockholm, Sweden, and I'm asking the librarian for books about Ireland.
You can help me att leta fram böcker om Irland.
Om Irland?
Ja.
Fakta om Irland.
Ja, precis.
I've never been there, only seen pictures of green hills and heard some folk music. I'm going there in February, so the books I'm looking for offer information.
Jag ska vara på den här avdelningen NE.
NE. Här. McCarthy's Bar. The funniest book I've ever read this year.
My father, he lives in New Zealand. He's the only one I know who has done more than getting drunk in the bars of Dublin. He traveled to Ireland on a Ferrari red bike 6 years ago. I couldn't come with him. He wanted to be alone. That's why I'm traveling there now, to see what he wanted to see.
Hey, mamma.
I took the subway to my friend Amanda. I brought the books I found to show her where I'm going.
A Journey of Discovery in Ireland.
By
Pete McCarthy.
And it's called McCarthy's Bar. There you have a bar. I guess that's he, Pete. Yeah. And there you have a nun.
Yeah, and there's... is she drinking beer? She's drinking beer,
is she drinking...
I
have to...
Never pass a bar that has your name on it, says the 8th rule of travel. A very rewarding rule if your name is McCarthy and you're wandering through the west of Ireland. A lot of younger people say that Ireland is U2 and the Cranberries. And
yeah, rain, the weather.
Rain and the rain.
Mm. I also have some kind of feeling that the family is quite important.
Now, how come?
I don't know. I just have this feeling that... maybe that you spend more time together. I guess that people go together to church on Sundays.
I think that is a very naive view of people, don't you?
I don't know. I think it's nice. I hope it's. I hope they have strong families.
Yeah, but you know, probably how they think about us. Like, we walk around naked all the time. And we
have lots of sex.
And a lot of sex.
Isn't that true?
Hello.
Hey, the Martin.
Hey, Martin.
He's always biked a lot, my father. In Scotland, Denmark, Holland, and so on. But this was different. He made the trip 2 years after his wife, my mother, had died in cancer. He was gone for a month during the summer. I was 16, my sister 13, and my older brother 18. We spent the summer with our grandmother on an island in the Baltic Sea. I sold ice cream to tourists on the beach, trying not to think of my father.
I was always kind of love with my father, you know. I always liked to come along with him doing stuff or fix with a boat or anything. And I always had this idea that if he was alone, he would be really sad.
My father has a photo album from his travels where he has listed all the places he went to.
Ja. Först var det färja till Newcastle. Var det tåg till Holyhead?
First, he took the ferry to Newcastle, then the train to Holyhead. There he took the ferry to Dublin.
It says that Dublin is a town filled of garbage.
Mm, I think so.
He wasn't too fond of that city.
And there is a lot of... do you call that pollution?
But he tells me that I should visit the University Library in Dublin to see all the handwritten books that they keep there, to get a feeling of knowledge before the discovery of printing.
It's not a beautiful city, but it's alive.
My father has a library himself, an entire room filled with books, almost 2 bookshelves of travelling stories. I used to love them as a child. He only cycled on small roads going through Wicklow Mountains, Glendalough and Wexford. I should visit that town, he says.
And then he went to a town, he said I should visit Wexford, and they have a really big difference between the high and the low tide.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably look kind of beautiful, you know, when the water is gone.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what happens with the boats.
I guess they get stuck on the bottom of the sea.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a boat. It should like tip over.
Yeah, maybe it does.
Ja, det är massa små låga hus. Det ligger vid vattnet och har en liten hamn med stort tidvatten. Och när det inte regnar så skiner solen. Det är vanligt på Irland.
He says that it's a town filled with small houses with one or two floors. It lies next to the ocean with a small harbor. And when it's not raining, the sun is shining. Like all places in Ireland, there is nothing in between. He then cycled onto the Hook. He says that I should go there and look at the old lighthouse.
Hook, it's
Hook. Yeah, it's supposed to be at Waterford. I don't. This map is very big.
It sounds like a lonely place, a little lighthouse.
Yeah.
What did he do there?
I think he just went to the lighthouse to see the lighthouse.
He just looked at the lighthouse.
During the month he was gone, I used to receive postcards from Ireland, picturing small towns and standardized landscapes. They said, "All is well." I tore all of them apart.
En gammal seglingsbeskrivning så stod det så här, kommer jag ihåg att jag har skrivit upp här. To Ireland by the Hook and the Crook. Det syftar på de två näs som överlappande skyddar infarten till Waterford, den gamla hamnstaden grundad av vikingarna på 800-talet.
He tells me about an old sailing description. To Ireland by the Hook or by Crook, meaning the way into Waterford, the old harbor town founded by the Vikings. After that, he went out to an island called Dersey Island, which you could reach by a cable car.
In the linbana, det fick du plats en ko, eller åtta får, eller sex människor.
It could hold one cow, eight sheep, or six people. The cattle was prioritized. The island itself is only 6.5 kilometers long and had 16 inhabitants.
When he got there, he was on his way back. And it's only so small, so he walked across and back. It was like his turning point, probably. Imagine living on that island.
Mm. 16 people?
Yeah, 16 people.
Imagine living there a whole life?
No, because he probably stood on the tip of the island.
And he looked at the sea.
Yeah, and he had to turn back, you know.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if he wanted to. Or if he just wanted to continue onwards, never turning back.
3 years later, he emigrated to New Zealand with his Ferrari red bike. Me, my sister and brother were left behind. My father again. I asked him what he thought about when he was on his bike there on the small roads.
Tänker man på cyklingen förstås, själva cyklingen, vad som är bakom nästa krök. Undrade jag om det skulle regna mera idag eller det räckte med tre regnskurar. Om det var mycket backar så tänkte jag om det blir motvind eller medvind.
I thought about what was behind the next corner, he says. If it was going to rain more or if it was enough with three rain showers in one day. And when it was uphill, I thought about which way the wind was coming from. After those thoughts, he thought about the loss of my mother. How unfair he believed it was.
Tänkte aldrig att du skulle varit att vi hade velat att du hade varit hemma så där.
Ja. Jag behövde lite tid borta från er också, vet du. Ja. Det var ju bara jag och ni.
I asked him if we never thought about that we needed him at home, and he answers that he needed to get away from us for a while, to be alone, to be able to continue.
I look identical to my father. I'm like a physical reincarnation of my father. If I look at pictures and see that when he's like 20, when he's 22 as I am, there's no difference at all. He's a little bit taller, but physically we're the same. No, if you picture that for yourself. Like you've been married to somebody, or you've known somebody for 25 years, who dies in front of your eyes in cancer. And you don't know how things work. Like, the entire world is upside down. And you decide to bike on Ireland alone, along the coast. I mean, wonder what he found. There. Ireland.
Jag vet bara att jag var i väldigt stort behov av att ha lite paus från alla vardagssysslor och vardagsansvar. Ungefär som du har haft ett jullov nu.
We all need to get away sometimes, just as you did when you had Christmas holiday. You got away from work.
Alltså, det är ju lite skillnad på att vara en pappa och ta ett jullov.
I say that there's a big difference in being a father and taking a vacation.
Alla behöver en paus ibland från det man gör.
He says everybody needs a break sometimes.
I just had the same thought that I wondered what he found on Ireland that made him want to continue to get away.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. But maybe he found something there that made him to continue to want to still disappear. Maybe he found something that we couldn't give him.
February 20th, Dublin, Ireland.
I'm standing outside Trinity College, in the old library. I'm here to look at the books my father was talking about.
As far as I can remember, my father has always had a library. All the new homes we moved into, a room or the living room would be filled with white IKEA bookshelves. Before my mother died, I had lived in 5 different places, ranging from Australia to a small island in the Baltic Sea. We never spent more than 3 years in one place. Now, 8 years later, at the age of 22, I've still never spent more than 3 years in one place.
It's how they, when you, Latin was all done in, the verb always came last.
So this is where my father was 6 years ago. When he arrived in Dublin, he went here. And he leaned over the glass mountains like the other people are doing here right now.
In my father's library, the novels were put in alphabetical order, the travel literature on 2 bookshelves, the historical books on another. When I was 11, I had an idea that I would read all the books from A to Z. I managed to get to C.
It has been calculated that the books of Kells in its original state used the skin of around 185 cows. Some leaves were disfigured by sizable holes created in the flaying of the pelt.
You had to be careful when reading his books. You were not allowed to have any grease on your fingers, and you were never allowed to fold pages so you knew where you were.
They're actually vacuum cleaning the books. And there's a note saying, silence, reading room, and...
As a child, I was promised that everything was possible, just as long as you wanted it badly enough.
It's probably 30 meters to the roof. And along the long hall, there are statues of men.
That promise means that you have to sacrifice things. I've done that, lost friends because of work, getting so absorbed that I forget them. The same way my father has done when pursuing his career.
Thank you.
22nd of February. I take the train to Wexford from Dublin.
Can you describe him physically, you know, what height was he and so on?
In Wexford, my father stayed in a hostel called the Kirwan House.
He actually looks identical to me, but older and
right.
And a little bit longer, but physically we actually look the same. The bike was Ferrari red. He probably had a couple of bags on the bike.
Yes.
A helmet. He had a yellow jacket, yellow wind jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Does anything ring a bell?
Yellow jacket, maybe. I do recall meeting a lot of people from Europe that year. You know, Holland, Sweden. I'm just trying to place him. You know, there was an older man, quite an old man. He's nearly 90 now, working here at the time. Just during the day, meeting people. And he's still living in Wexford. His name is Eamon. So I don't know. Well, I don't know what his memory will be like now, or if he could remember anything.
Could we have, like, phoned him or something?
His house is it's about two streets over from here.
Looking for Eamon, I pass one of the many churches I've seen in town. Next to it, on a parking space, Jesus is hanging on his cross in between all the cars. Something that I have never seen in Sweden, so I take a couple of pictures.
Have you been in Ireland very long?
No, this is the first time I'm here, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know what Swedish radio would be like, you know. But
Eamon has got three radios on when I enter his house. He turns them off one by one. So how long have you lived in Wexford?
Oh, it's been about, about 10 years. Often, I'm not exactly sure, but originally from around Drogheda. I just thought I'd like this area better because the climate is better, for one thing.
Why were you at the Kirwan House?
Oh, me? When I first came to Wexford, I was looking for a place to stay, and I just went there and rented a bed, you know, and stayed there a couple of weeks, and then I had several languages, you know. I have Spanish and French and a little bit of German. And so, and then when the owner came back, he asked me if I'd like a job, and I said I would. And so many different people came through the hostel, and sometimes I'd become quite friendly with some of them, and we'd have a cup of tea out at the table, and, you know, we'd talk and all. And after a while, you'd almost consider them friends. And a couple of years later, you would have completely forgotten them, you know. And it's unfortunate that we don't remember better, but see, have a look at you and see if you remember. And he was traveling on his own, right? You know, at the moment, I can't place him.
But was there a lot of lonely people traveling?
When you say lonely, now, do you mean people who are traveling alone on their own, or people who were simply didn't have any friends or found it hard to make friends? Because I would say lonely people would be largely people who weren't able to relate to other people. But if it's just lone, just traveling on their own, traveling alone, well, there would be a lot of them, yeah. You haven't heard from him at all, right?
Well, yeah, I have. He lives on New Zealand now.
Oh, yeah, okay, well, that's good. I've heard it's a wonderful country, you know. Is he an adventurous fellow, or it may just be for the adventure of it, you know?
Yeah, he is actually adventurous. Yes. He likes climbing mountains. He likes biking.
Oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But do you have brothers and sisters or not?
Yeah, I have a little sister and a big brother.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, he did have a family. It is kind of surprising that he would just go out on his own.
Have you ever gone on alone like that on a trip?
No, I don't think I have really. You know, I haven't done any biking to speak of, you know. When I was younger, I'd bike around the house, you know, around the neighborhood. But not, I haven't taken any from one town to another. I haven't done that.
February 23rd. The day after, I leave for Waterford to continue on for Dunmore East. As I sit and watch the same landscape that my father passed by, it feels like I'm rushing after him. He traveled here on a bike at a much slower speed. I can't see much through the window. I can't even smell the landscape, just the air conditioning from the bus. Dennis?
Are you looking for Dennis?
Yeah, Dennis.
Yes, people. Here, Dennis.
Ah. Dunmore East. From the pier through the rain, you can see the hook. Dennis Harding is changing the cables, which he uses for the nets. 500 meters of cable go on the boat. They last for about 15 months, and then they put on new ones. His three Lithuanian fishermen that work on the boat are watching the cable as it goes on board, making sure that nothing goes wrong.
Very few Irish fishermen anymore now. Well, in this port anyway, they want most of them went on the buildings. They can earn as much on the buildings as they can fishing, and they have more time off, so.
What do you think about that?
Well, I still like the job, but a lot of people probably don't. We have to put in a lot of hours, you know, and a lot of hardship. We're away from home a lot, so.
How long are you away for?
We're at sea for 10 or 11 days, non-stop.
How is it to leave your family that long?
Well, when you're younger, it doesn't seem to be as bad, I don't know, but as you get a bit older, then you seem to be... don't seem to want to do it as much, but we keep in touch. We have we have radios in the house and that, and we keep in touch constantly, you know. We have a laptop, a computer there that we can send emails, and so it's a little bit okay that way.
It's like a little bit there's
Would you come down tomorrow for your money?
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Morning?
No, it would be 4 o'clock.
4?
Yeah. You stay in bed tomorrow. Stay beside your wife, all right?
You ring me, okay?
I'll ring you, yeah. Okay, nurse.
See you.
Okay, Alexander. Goodbye.
How come they're all from Litauen?
Lithuania. Well, they seem... There's a lot of Eastern Europeans coming to Ireland to work. The money is good compared with their money, so... It pays them to come here to work. Their wages would be about £500 a month at home, you know.
But what do you actually think about when you're out on the boat like that?
Think about the catch we're going to get. All sorts of things go through your head. How are they at home? And is everybody okay? And, you know, a lot of things go through your mind. But they must feel it as well. They're leaving their loved ones at home for 3 months. I only do it for 5 days, 6 days. When they go home to Lithuania and they leave to come back here, it must be very sad to say I'll be away for 3 months. But we would always think about the people at home, how they're thinking of us, and try to get word into them that we're okay and everything is good, and mostly of what's going to come in the catch, you know. That we're making money, that we're not wasting our time out here. You really get excited when you see a lot of fish or a lot of prawns. That gives you a great buzz.
How long do you think you'll continue fishing?
I don't know, I'm 64 years of age now, so another 30 years probably. I don't know. Hopefully I'll get another 5 years. You see, you think 5 years is a small amount of time, but when you're 64 years of age, maybe I won't be able to do it in 5 years' time. I don't know. I keep going till I think I have to stop. Then I stop.
But how does it feel to... I noticed you had a memorial wall.
Oh, yeah. That's for all people lost at sea. When you see a lot of the names of some of the fishermen that you fished beside and you knew, they'd always say a little prayer, you know, when you pass.
Dennis is driving me back into Waterford, where I'm staying for the night. All the buses have stopped, and it's dark outside.
You see the hook flashing there now? You see the light? That's a landmark there now. When we see that, we're home. Now, when we see it going out, we have another 5 days to do.
February 24th. Walking the day after in Castletown Beer, I find to my surprise the same McCarthy's bar that was on the cover of the book I borrowed in Sweden. The author of the book claimed this to be one of the best pubs in the world. Half of it is a pub, the other half a store. I'm meeting another Dennis here, the owner of a bed and breakfast, who's going to take me out to Dersey Island tomorrow.
But you actually met McCarthy, didn't you?
Yes, he stayed with me in our guest house, once. But from reading his book, he showed really, you know, if I was to explain those people, and I know them along, you know, over many years, on his quick just meeting them, he could describe them more so than I could, and I'd know those people over a long number of years. So I think he was very sharp. Well, he developed cancer, and he's deceased now just over 2.5 years.
My father was in this pub and bought supplies before going on to Dersey Island. He probably didn't meet Dennis, a man whose story is similar to his.
30 years ago, I came here to Castletown Beer. I came in through the fishing, and I met this person. It was at our sister's wedding, who married a chap who fished with me on the same boat. She was the bridesmaid that day, so... And she had long hair. Hair, you know, unusual long hair. You don't see many young girls today. It was 1.5 feet long, which was unusual. That day. That was when I first met her.
How would you describe her?
She was very precise. And precise meaning clean. Everything had to be near perfect. A very kind of perfect person. To me, I know if she could come back today, she would take me around by the ear and say, you know, look at this, look at that. Very. That's what that was one of the things I didn't have, and I admired in her so much. 5 years left to last October, it was she had cancer. And she got 1.5 years. Through her illness, and she passed away 4 years from this March. She's buried in her home graveyard, which would be in Cahermore, which would be a part of where the Dorsey people would be buried. So that was her wish to go back there. Her mother is buried and father are buried in the same graveyard. She was proud of it, very proud of Dorsey, being a person from Dorsey.
How did your children react?
Well, I suppose it was only a month before she did pass away that I had to sit them down one night and tell them, without she being in the presence, because she could not tell them. It was a hard moment, but I had to tell them. I don't know, as a father, you try to protect your children as much as you could, like, you know. So, but then again, she was their mother. You can't replace that. You know, it was, well, but it took a long time, you know. But children, for them, they're going to go on, and they're going to go into college and meet someone or whatever. But your mother, yes, you'll miss her. But as a husband and wife, you know, it's a loss that you'll never, it'll never go away from me.
But don't you ever feel like running away?
Well, I suppose I know I'm woods at times, but you know your responsibilities. If you, on the day they're born, until, I suppose on the day you die, they'll still be your children. And they, you know, you'll try to do the best for what you can do for them. Times, yes, you would love to run away. I suppose in every job, if you're in it, you know, there's often you say, you know, I'd love to be out of here. But like, not everyone had that choice.
Later that night, borrowing a copy of the book from Dennis, I find myself laughing at all the jokes, realizing suddenly that the man is dead, though he's still alive on the page. I fall asleep wondering if he knew that he was going to die when writing the book, if the cancer had shown any sign of eating him alive, just as it did to Dennis' wife and my mother.
See that idol hut? You see a little rock sticking up. There was an old lighthouse on that, and it was 18. Is it around 1830? It was blown down, and all the lightkeepers were marooned on it. This is the chap who will put you across now. See about him. Must be down below.
Hello, how are you? Do you want to go in now?
Yeah.
All right.
Do you know if there's anybody on the island now?
Very few. There's one man there in the first village, but maybe he will speak to you, maybe not. I could see how it goes.
Yeah, thanks.
The cable car rocks back and forth, swaying 50 meters over the ocean, and I find a prayer on the wall.
Read every day for protection. Whoever goes to the Lord for safety, whoever remains under the protection of the Almighty, can say to him, "You are my defender and protector. You are my God, and you I trust. He will keep you safe from all hidden dangers and from all deadly diseases. 1,000 may fall dead beside you, 10,000 all around you, but you will not be harmed." What are you doing here?
Me?
Yeah.
I am farming.
You're farming here?
Yeah.
Are you born here in Dorsey?
I was born in Dorsey, 55. And I went to school here in Dorsey. That's the school up there in the mountain, look.
Oh. So how was it to go in school in Dorsey Island?
Oh, there were a big population here in Dorsey Island. There must be about 60 there. In the island at that time.
How many are there now?
I suppose there's 6 or 7 full-time now.
What's happened since then?
Well, if the old people died and the younger ones, the young people went off to, they got married and they stayed in the mainland.
So how do you think that why the seven people still living here were they permanently? Why are they staying?
Well, I suppose they have no other where to move into their home. And they're quite happy there. Yeah. Where you were born and reared, I suppose, is your home, and they're very happy there at the moment.
So do you think that in the end nobody will live here?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. My sister built a house down the road there.
You did?
Yeah. There.
The little yellow one?
Yeah, the yellow one, yeah.
Would you recommend somewhere I should what I should see or where I should go?
You should. If you go out to the far, oh, if you walk out to the inn there, you'll see the, and you'll see the bull rock and the cow rock and the calf rock. If you stay on the road, you'll see them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's really funny to be here because father he traveled alone after my mother had died.
Yeah.
So he walked across to the tip of the island, and then he walked back. Then he went back to Sweden. So it's been a long journey, actually.
It is a long journey, yeah. Yeah. Well, you should do the same today.
You think so?
Yeah. Follow your father's footsteps.
Yeah. It takes me 40 minutes to walk to the end of the island. I pass ruins of abandoned houses and three deserted villages.
This is the tip of Dersey Island. This is where my father, this was his turning point. You do actually get a feeling of wanting to continue on. You get a feeling of wanting to throw yourself in the ocean. Hej pappa, det är Martin. Du, jag ville bara säga att jag är på Dersey Isle och tittar ut över havet.
Hi dad, it's Martin. I'm standing on Dersey Island and I'm looking over the ocean.
Jag saknar dig. Hoppas allt är bra. Hej.
I miss you. Hope you're well.